Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Welcome to The Stacks, a podcast about books and the people who read them. I'm your host, Tracy Thomas, and today our guest is Asha Grant. Asha is the founder of the LA branch of the Free Black Women's Library. Before we get started, I wanted to tell you guys about Book of the Month. It's an amazing book subscription box for all of you book lovers out there. Every month, you get to pick a book you want based on a handful of selections that have been vetted by the Book of the Month team. They always pick a wide range of books to give you something new in genre and introduce you to authors you may not have known before. Book of the Month makes it easy to pick a new book outside of your comfort zone, and they make sure that whatever you're reading is something that everyone will be talking about. Each month, you get a brand new hardcover book delivered to your doorstep, and oftentimes, the book hasn't even been released to the public. In March, I'm really looking forward to the new Eric Larson book, The Splendid and the Vile. It's totally my kind of nonfiction history goodness. Listeners of this podcast get their first month for $9.99 when you use the code THESTACKS at checkout or shop through the link in our show notes. If you're more into listening to your books, be sure to check out Audible. They're an audiobook service that has hundreds of thousands of titles to choose from. Listeners of this show get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download just for going to audibletrial.com/thestacks. If you're in need of a book recommendation, please send us an email at askingthestacks@gmail.com. Myself and my guests will read it to you on air and give you personalized book recommendations. Email askingthestacks@gmail.com with what you're looking for and then tune in to hear what we suggest. If you're interested in supporting the work that we do around here, please consider making a contribution to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/thestacks. You'll earn insider perks like our video book club. You can also show the show some love by making sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget, everything we talk about on this show can be found in the show notes, along with our social media accounts and social media accounts for our guest. Okay, now let's chat with the founder of the LA chapter of the Free Black Women's Library, Asha Grant. All right, you guys, I'm very excited. I'm here today with Asha Grant. Asha is the founder of the Free Black Women's Library here in LA. And Asha, welcome to the Stacks.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited that you're here. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Free Black Women's Library, Asha, do you want to give us just like a little background on what that is and then kind of how you started it here in LA?
Yeah, sure. So the Free Black Women's Library is a Black feminist literary pop-up book swap.
Okay.
And so the premise is pretty simple. You bring a book written by a Black woman that could be from any genre, or any time period, just anything written by a Black woman, literally a zine, it could be a literary magazine, it could be an article, it could be a cookbook, and you get to swap for a book that hopefully is on your list that you haven't read before, or maybe an old favorite. And it's a really great way to help promote literacy and also just like gain new books and new experiences without spending any money.
Yeah.
It's like a really dope anti-capitalist project, especially today where Amazon is what we understand Amazon to be, which
right.
is like
right. Everything.
Monster. Yeah. And yeah, it's a really great opportunity for community members to come together just under the voices of Black women and promoting our stories, and it's just really awesome. It's such a special moment. So I got introduced to the library because I used to live in New York. I'm from Los Angeles, but I went to New York for grad school.
Where did you go to grad school?
I went to Columbia.
Okay. I went to NYU for undergrad. So also spent a little time in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, and I don't think NYU and Columbia are like the same like,
no.
vibe.
No, not at all. But they're in the same city, kind of.
Anyway, but I feel like NYU is cooler than.
Oh, interesting.
You know, it just seems
it's a little bit less stuffy. Yeah. Because it's not an Ivy League, though. You know, it's like, do you want to go to an Ivy League or do you want to go to NYU?
Yeah. I'm just going to say it. I regret going to Columbia.
You do? Why?
Sorry, y'all. It was too stuffy for me.
Oh, okay.
It was really stuffy. And it was, I obviously got my master's in English.
Okay.
And didn't read enough Black books, like didn't have enough diversity like in our curriculum. It was just sort of like, I went to Spelman for undergrad. So
okay.
just got to say that.
Kind of felt like you were backtracking a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
I was going to say, where did you go to undergrad? Because I feel like everywhere is stuffy and doesn't have enough black books, but not Spelman.
Not at Spelman. So it was a really disappointing transition. I was super excited to have that experience. And when I got there, I was like, wow, you guys have never heard of intersectionality, but Kimberly Crenshaw is a professor at the law school. There were so many moments. Huh. I was like, wow, y'all. Anyway, back to.
Okay. So you're in New York. Sorry. I got distracted.
No. Yeah. Okay. So I'm in New York. And so since you lived in New York, you know that New York is super walkable.
Yeah.
And so I was always walking around Harlem and I literally ran into the library at the Studio Museum in Harlem.
Okay.
And I was always used to seeing people outside selling books and really good books too. It doesn't really happen so much in LA. No. Actually, I've never seen that here. So I was like, oh, okay, is this a book selling thing? What's happening? But really quickly I realized okay, this is actually not that. This is something else in itself. So I was talking to people and I was like, what's happening here? I see all of my favorite authors, all these books that I wanted to get and that are in my cart that I still want to get, but I'm broke because I'm in school. And they were like, oh yeah, just bring some books and you can have some books. And I was like, a concept. I can get down with this. So I ran back to my house. I did have some books that I felt comfortable parting with. And I went back and I swapped and I got to meet Olaranke Akinmowo, who started it in Brooklyn. And I was talking to her and I was like, this is amazing. She was like, thanks, girl. So she took my picture with the books. It's really cute. I never post it because I look horrible.
Oh.
But it's really, really iconic. Yeah, I just remember getting Tar Baby by Toni Morrison. She had this beautiful vintage copy from the 70s. And I had this turquoise background and these little yellow stars on it. I was just and I'm a cover junkie.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I literally ran into this project. And I went to a couple other swaps after that. And when I moved back to LA, I just missed having it here.
Okay.
And I looked for one here. I was is there something like that happening here? And I just couldn't find anything. So I was super wrapped up in what I call the charter school industrial complex system.
Okay.
And I just didn't have any time. And I was just a grind monster.
Were you a teacher?
I taught one class, but my primary role was a coordinator. So I was over student services and extracurriculars and stuff like that, which I loved. I loved my kids, but I'm not going to go deep into that. But the point is, I had abandoned my actual passions in life, which are reading, writing books, black women, all these different things. And so I had this come to Jesus moment where I was like, I'm about to quit my job and start doing other stuff that I really want to do and I'm really interested in. And a part of that was doing something that was so similar to the Free Black Women's Library that I was like, I need to just call her and just ask, can I start a chapter here or a site or are you open to branching out? And she was really receptive, super kind and excited and supportive. And so in January 2019, I launched our Instagram and it's just been popping ever since.
Yeah. Okay. You guys don't just do book swaps though. You do other community events too.
Yeah. So it's a literary series. I think of it as a Black feminist literary series.
Okay.
So we do different events. As I was mentioning to you earlier, we had an event where I played an episode from your podcast.
Thank you for the shout out.
Had to do it. Yes. Because when Akiba Solomon and Kenra Rankin.
Yeah.
We're on here for How We Fight White Supremacy. I did an event with this organization called AMWA. And they're these Pan-Asian mama art worker folks that are so dope. And we came together over that book to talk about anti-Blackness within Pan-Asian communities. And we used the book as sort of a jump-off point for how we fight white supremacy in our own lives and our families and things like that. So, and we did this mapping activity where we like mapped out literally how we're going to fight white supremacy and how we already do. So it was great. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, so we do different like workshops. I've done this workshop that I started called Praise the Lord Workshops. Every Sunday, I try to read Audre Lorde because I truly believe that she is like my Lord and Savior.
That's Praise the Lord with an E.
Praise the Lord with an E. And so I did this workshop with my co-facilitator. Her name is NK, and she used to work with the Women's Center for Creative Work.
Okay.
And we developed this workshop around one of the essays called Uses of the Erotic as Power. And so, like, that's an example of something that's not necessarily a book swap, but, like, still centering a Black woman writer or, like, Black feminist theory in some way.
Great. And we'll talk a lot more about Audre Lorde next week when we talk about the book. So that was a little spoiler of what's coming your way next week, y'all. Okay. What if people want to start one in their own city? Is that something they can do? Do they reach out? Like, what do you know how people would go about that?
Yeah, it's so funny because people will reach out to me and they're like, what can I do? And I'm like, okay, reach out to Ola. So I usually send them to the Free Black Women Library's page. Ours is the Free Black Women's Library _LA.
Okay.
So I usually send them to the original page so they can talk with her about like what to do. And then after that, if they have like more questions or just need like advice or something, then I'm open to giving it.
One of the things that I've seen that's really cool about what you're doing and kind of the organization, I guess it's an organization or it's like grassroots. It's kind of like guerrilla literacy, which is awesome. But one of the things that's really cool is that it doesn't feel like you have to be on the same page necessarily on day-to-day or like events, but more in the broader sense. Like it seems like you have a lot of freedom to do events that fit your community. And then in Brooklyn, they're doing events that fit their community.
Yeah.
And I think that's really useful and helpful because LA and New York are not the same.
Yes. I'm really glad that you brought that up. LA and New York are very much not the same. And I mean, even just the landscaping of it, right?
Totally. Like, there's no walking around. You're not going to bump into
walking around. Right. So I really have to do a lot of work in terms of like making sure wherever we have events, there's parking.
Right.
And things like that, because it's like no one's going to, I mean, even when I'm looking to do events or looking to go to events, I'm like, okay, how long is it going to take me to get there? Like, am I going to have a place to park?
Right.
In New York, you're just like, oh, like, it's in wherever you know that you can hop on the train.
Right, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, so it is really awesome because each site has their own, I feel like each site has their own energy. Like, has their own kind of events. Like, for an example, the Free Black Women's Library in Atlanta, I think they're about to start this, like, Black Feminist Theory, like, reading series or something.
Cool.
Where they like will meet on the weekends to like go over texts and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily something that I've done here before, but like totally fits them and like their community.
Right,
and
right.
Yeah. So it's really nice and it's awesome because it's really fun for me to see the different ways that we all engage around Black women's books and Black women writers and Black feminist theory, like in our different ways.
Right. Cause it feels like it feels like a really specific thing, but it's also such a huge thing. There's so much space to kind of live in it, whatever feels right for your community.
Yeah. And I think that's so awesome, I think, for Black women too, who I feel like are so often just like boxed.
Yeah.
And this project really shows you like, no, we can go wherever we want with this. Like it's actually the possibilities are endless when it comes to Black women and the stuff that we say and do. And things that we've written.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's awesome. Love that. Mm-hmm. And then if people want to find if there's a chapter where they are, do you know how many there are or is there somewhere they can go?
Yeah. So there's not like a directory. Okay. There's not that many. So there's like, I know before I started this one, Chicago had a Free Black Women's Library but it was like they had an event like once a year.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're still doing that. But yeah, you can, honestly, if you just like put an Instagram, the Free Black Women's Library, that's all of our handles,
right?
But with an underscore and something else afterwards.
Got it. So you'll find it.
So
there.
Yeah, I know for sure there's one in Houston. I know, and theirs, I think, operates more like a book club.
Okay.
And but I do think that they're like building their collection to do a book swap. And then there's one in Atlanta, there's one in New York, and I think that's all.
Okay.
That's all I know.
Okay. Great. So people, if you're in those places, go check it out. And if you're not and you want to be in a place where it exists, maybe you just start your own. We should say this for sure. How can people support the work that you're doing, whether they're in LA or not?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that too, because I'm really bad at saying those things. I always forget. everything that we do is 100% donation based. Like, 100% volunteer run. Like, there's no like outside funding for this. So, in all of our events, I like to have snacks and like art supplies and things like that. And it really does add up, especially because a lot of the spaces that we have events at are like minority owned. And I like to offer like an event fee or something to pay for the time that we spend there. So, yeah, you can go to the link in our Instagram. Instagram is like a big hub, kind of. But we also have a website, thefreeblackwomenslibla.com. And I have links to Patreon. So you can give us like even as little as like a dollar a month could be really helpful. We also have a GoFundMe if you just want to make like a one-time donation still. We do have a book wish list with Skylight Books.
Okay. That's here in LA.
Yeah, that's here in LA. And they have a website so you can go on and order books and they'll send them to the store and give them to us. I'm looking to start more book wish lists with different indie bookstores around the city. Okay. So
for now, Patreon or GoFundMe is best.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can always mail us a book too. People like to do that. Our address is on our Instagram and website and everything too.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. For those of you who are thinking, God, this sounds kind of familiar. If you've been with the show for a while, last year we did a book drive when Asha and the library were just getting started here in LA, and you guys like went nuts and it was amazing.
That was insane.
It was insane. The pictures of you with all the books and stuff was amazing.
No, it was literally insane. Like literally they called me. I put it on the Instagram story, but they literally called me. The woman who I had been like talking to at the post office was like, oh, if you're going to be expecting a lot of books here, like, you know, give me your cell phone number just in case, whatever. And I was like, okay. And she was like, I probably won't call you, but just to have in case. And I was like, okay. And she called me like the next day and she was like, hi, I need you to come here today. You have so many books that came in. Like, I was like screaming. I was like, oh my God. And it was like that for days.
You guys did a good job. So anyways, we'll find more ways that this show can support the work that you guys are doing. But if you are just feeling right now, like, I love Asha, I want to support the Free Black Women's Library, I don't live in LA, I can't attend, I can't go to a swap, check out their Patreon or the GoFundMe and stay connected, because you might just see a wish list somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Before we hop off all of this about you and start talking about your books, we should just talk briefly about what you do for work, because you are kind of like a freelance, because this is all your passion project. You don't make money. You don't get paid off Free Black Women.
No.
So you do digital media, kind of like marketing, social media stuff. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I'm like classic millennial.
Yeah.
Like, I have so many different small little things/streams of income. I guess primarily I do like media and pub stuff. So I do social media management for like different small companies and organizations. Usually they're companies and orgs that center marginalized communities in some way. So I do feel super aligned with like all of my projects. So the Free Black Women's Library sort of fits in seamlessly to like my actual paid work. And so I do that. I do light graphic design. And I say light because people will be like, oh, can you? And they'll say something extremely complicated. And I'm like, not. And I'm like, no. But I do that. That's kind of like, and that can look at a couple different ways. So sometimes that's just like managing different like social media channels or like creating materials for like a new author that's coming out with something. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's kind of all meshed in together in different ways.
Awesome. I love that. Okay. We're going to do this is something that I love. It's called Ask the Stack. Someone has sent us an email they're going to tell us kind of like what, I haven't prepped you on this. You're going off the cuff. She's looking at her computer like, no, you're going off the cuff.
Okay.
Good. I prep myself. So I'll talk for a little bit and then I got you, girl. Don't worry. Okay. So someone sent an email. This one is from a woman named Shoshana. And Shoshana, if you're listening, thank you. Your email was so long, girl. It was so long that I had to paraphrase. So I'm kind of like I'm tightening it up just for the sake of the fact that the people are going to be mad if I read your whole email. But I see you, Shoshana. Thank you. So this is basically what she said. Shoshana is a Black woman from New York. She started a meetup book club when she moved to Florida. If you're in Florida, West Palm Beach area, I'll put a link to the meetup in the show notes so you can check it out. Shoshana says she likes all kinds of books, but her book club really likes historical fiction and older classics. She says she suggested modern books, but sometimes people aren't really interested in them. So she wants to branch out in a way that's going to be inclusive to people in her group, but also diversify what they're reading. So what she said that they've read, she sent me all of the books that they've read and how many people showed up to the meetup and how the discussion was. So I picked a few of the books that she said that were good and had a good turnout. Okay. And most of them are actually kind of modern. So she said that Miracle Creek, The Murmur of Bees, and The Girl with Seven Names were all books that were really good. And she just really wants to be able to please everybody and diversify both genre and author identity. So she's open to queer authors. She's open to authors of color. She's open to YA, romance. Like, she basically said she's open to everything. So first of all, Shoshana, here's what I'm going to say. And I mean this in the kindest way possible. You're not going to be able to please everybody, girl. It's just not going to happen. So you should pick books that you think are really exciting since you're going to every single book club. That's what I do here at the Stacks. I can't please everybody. Everybody does not read along with the show, but at least I've read it and I'm happy that I spent time with the book. So here are three things that I came up with based on kind of what you said. I went all fiction, which listeners of this show are going to be like, really? Wow. The first one is called The Air You Breathe by Frances de Pontes Peebles. And I've not read it, but she's a Brazilian author. She's from Brazil. It's a historical fiction book. It's set right in Havana, I believe, like in the 30s. And everybody who's read it loves it. I've yet to talk to someone who doesn't love it. And from my understanding, it's a great book club book. So that's number one. Number two I picked was Another Brooklyn by Jacqueline Woodson. It's a great book. It's super tiny. It's set in the 80s, 90s Brooklyn. And for those of you who don't know Jacqueline Woodson, she is a Black queer woman. She writes young adult books and children's books and adult books. This is an adult book, but it's about young girls in Brooklyn. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to young teenage, preteen girls and growing up and being alive. And it's great. And then the last one I came up with was Underground Railroad by Colston Whitehead. It won the National Book Award. It was super popular. I believe 2016 or 17 it came out. And it's kind of a magical realism take on the Underground Railroad. So there's like a real railroad and it's about a runaway slave. And there's a ton to talk about there. And that kind of ties in maybe some historical fiction. I guess all three kind of are, though the Jacqueline Woodson, you could say. So those are my suggestions for you. But honestly, Shoshana, just pick what you want to read and people will come and you'll find the right people. Okay. Do you have any suggestions for her?
I think that's a really great place to start, which is with yourself. Because you really can't please anyone. And I mean, I commend anyone who's running a book club because it's not easy work.
No.
And it is a lot of pressure. And people have approached me about starting a book club many times. And I haven't done it because I'm scared.
Like, yeah.
It's a lot of pressure to pick these books and have people, there's almost like they're like, oh, we're forced to read it this time. You know, it's like,
right.
You don't want it to feel like school.
Right.
So, yeah, shout out to you, Shoshana. I really just have one book that I've been pushing to everybody and making them read it.
Okay.
And that's Homegoing by Yaa Jazzy.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't read it, it is historical fiction.
Yeah. There you go.
It's very, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's a really beautiful, I think, beautiful, but also like heart-wrenching story about two sisters who have like two, I guess, sort of like not different fates, but like,
yeah, it's like their life trajectories. It starts in like
Ghana,
I guess, pre/ the start of slavery, the slave trade. And it's like these two sisters, and it follows, it's kind of like Sliding Doors. One sister's family line goes one way and one sister's family line goes the other.
Yeah. So I just feel like that's a book just like everyone should just read, because it's really good and super important. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah. She has a new book coming out this year.
I know.
Transcendent Kingdom, I think is what it's called.
Yes. And I'm so, have you seen the cover?
It's gorgeous.
It's stunning.
It's pink and black
and gold.
And so beautiful.
When I saw it, I just like, yeah. It's like they're making these books so that they can be like perched on a coffee table.
Yeah.
And just like.
It's like they're making them for Instagram.
I just had a conversation.
They
are.
Yeah.
No,
for sure.
They totally are. It's not about anything else but like social media at this point. And I love covers. So I'm like, I'm into it. But I also peep game.
Yeah.
But that cover is beautiful. I would recommend that book. And I'm trying to think of another like historical.
I know. I don't read a ton of historical fiction.
Yeah, I don't really either. But if you are open to YA, I think that's really good, because I love YA books. They're so good. And one that I've also been pushing a lot, which I'll probably talk about later, is Pet.
Oh.
By Akweke Emezi. So it's in my top five now.
I've heard it's amazing. I have not read it yet, but I've heard it's brilliant.
An easy read. You can read it in 2 days.
Okay.
Like, or in one night.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, I know for me, book clubs give me a lot of anxiety, because I'm like, what if I don't finish? And I want to finish.
Right.
I want to be done, and I want to be able to talk about everything. That one I just recommend generally, because it's awesome.
Okay. That's great. All right. Let's talk about you now. We didn't really do this in the beginning. So kind of tell us a little bit about your reading life, like how are books a part of your life? You said you were an English major, so I'm just going to assume that means you've read a lot of old dead white guys.
Yes. So my reading journey started as a kid, as many of ours did. And I really think that like a big part of why I loved reading was because I was an only child and I had like no one to play with.
Okay.
And reading is an excellent activity for someone who's by themselves and you don't have to do anything with anyone. So, and also my parents were both educators.
Okay.
So my mom was like, it's time to read.
Got
like
it.
Literally, like
got
it's
it.
Literally just like, go read. And I liked it anyway. So, but yeah, I like grew up with this idea that I was going to be an English teacher because I loved English class so much. And I was like, I don't want this to end. And it doesn't have to end.
Right.
I can just do it as a
career. I can do it myself.
Yeah. I can just like stay in the classroom forever. I got my degree in English for undergrad, and I minored in women's studies and African diaspora studies.
Oh, okay.
So like makes lots of sense.
So you're doing what you love.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
you're actually using your degree.
Yeah, in a way, totally. So, and even when I was at Columbia, my degree was in English and my concentration was on Black female education and literacy. So, like, not veering off far.
Right.
So,
we'll go in. We'll dive in now. So, what are two books you love and one book you hate?
So, I'm going to start off with a book that I hate.
Okay. Yeah, start it off with a book you
hate. I feel like it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm not into Zadie Smith.
I've never read any.
Girl, I can't. I don't know what it is. I cannot relate to her characters. Her writing style reminds me of like a really like young white British dude. I just can't latch on. And I see her books and they have great covers as well.
Yeah.
Swing Time, that yellow and the black light. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I can't. And I've tried multiple times. So that's I don't want to say that I hate the author.
Right.
But I hate the book Swing Time.
Okay.
And it's a book that I see everywhere. And I feel like it's super popular, which is why I feel like this is a really unpopular opinion.
It's okay. I love unpopular opinions.
I do
They're
too.
The best.
I live for an unpopular opinion.
Because everyone always says Catcher in the Rye for that, for the book they hate or the book they love. And while I think it's hilarious that that's like the number one said book for that on this show, I also love when someone comes up with something that I'm like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Catcher in the Rye, like, okay.
Yeah.
But like, what's a secret book that you hate?
Yeah,
you
know, that's. I should change the question. Like, what's a book that you hate that nobody else hates?
Yeah, that like you don't feel comfortable.
What's your unpopular opinion book?
Yeah,
well, I'm gonna add that to the questionnaire right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a little different than just what you hate. Two books that I love. This is also like no surprise, but obviously, Sister Outsider.
Okay.
By Audre Lorde, and Homegoing by Yaa Jessie.
Okay.
That book changed my life, and I think about that book every week.
Do you really? Literally, I read it, and I did not love it. I liked it, but I was not like head over heels.
Oh my God.
I know. I liked it. I read it quickly, like I was interested in it. I just thought it fizzled by the end for me.
Okay, it did kind of fizzle at the end. I'm
the
not gonna
beginning,
lie.
The first like...
The beginning was insane. Yeah. It was like a rocket going on.
Yeah, and I can't wait to read her next book. Like, same. It was good enough for me to be like, yo, this person...
Yeah.
I can't wait for book two.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the end of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I think about it, but I don't like think about it. You know,
I think that it fizzled at the end because it got too familiar at the end.
Yeah.
And I think that in the beginning, you were like transported.
Yes.
And so I felt like once you felt that like, okay, we're like descending onto the ground that we live on now.
Right.
It was like underwhelming.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the last just great book that you read?
It was Pet.
Okay.
Yeah, by Akwaeke Emezi. I read that when I was in South Africa. I just got back. And it was like incredible.
Where'd you go?
I went to Johannesburg and I went to Cape Town.
I've been to both of those places.
Really?
Yes.
We'll have to chat.
I went years ago. What are you reading right now?
So right now I'm reading Blues, Legacies, and Black Feminism by Angela Davis.
Okay.
I'm actually rereading it because I read it in college, but I was in college, so I was fake reading it just to get by. And now I'm like, actually, this is a great book. And I am really interested. And I think it's because it's Black History Month or something, but like just diving more into like Black queer stories, particularly like Black women queer stories. So the women that she highlights in the book, like Bessie Smith and Ma Rainey, are like super radical queer Black women who were like taking charge of their identities and of their work. And like just really like when I think about the blues, I always think about men.
And, right. Totally.
Yeah. So I'm just like, yeah. And it's a really... I've been trying to not read so much academic lit, but it doesn't feel like that.
Okay.
This feels really like personal and really just important for me to read right now at this moment. So
why are you trying to read less academic stuff?
I think I just need an escape.
Got it.
And it's not always like it's just I feel like especially when you like exist in that like social justice like area of work and just even your personal circle of friends and like it's just really a lot and so I'm just like I want to read about somebody who's like on a spaceship or something right
sure
now.
Totally
like, I can't really like theorize and like I just it's too much right now.
How much of your reading like percentage or whatever fraction I don't know, you can interpret it as you will would you say it's by Black women?
I would say close to 99%.
Okay.
I was thinking about that as I was going over your questions. I was like, I can't remember the last time I read a book written by a white person.
Really?
Or a man. Like literally. I know that I have.
Right.
Obviously. But like it hasn't. It's been a really long time.
That's great.
I think, I mean, I'm trying to like decolonize reading a little bit. Because I feel like especially within like the book community, there's a lot of like. Just it'll just come off really elitist, like how many books have you read or how do you, and it's just like it's just unrealistic to expect for people to like engage in all of these different ways that we're reading online and read all of these different books, and it's just like a lot.
Yeah.
And we're always reading. I think we're actually reading now more than ever.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I think that people think because we're reading allegedly less books that we're not reading.
Yeah.
But when you take into account like social media and articles and posts and information, like you're getting mini essays sometimes with someone's Instagram post.
Absolutely.
Or sometimes you're getting whole books on Facebook.
Yeah, literally.
Or like a tweet thread could be the best thing you read all day. So I always push back when people say like, oh, I'm not really a reader. I'm like, well, you must be reading something.
Yeah.
Are you reading articles? Do you get the newspaper?
Yeah. I feel like it's a really classist like perspective too to say that like people are not reading and not engaging in the world. And I'm just like, I don't believe like that's impossible today.
Right.
Actually, you can't not read.
Right. And I think people, a lot of people who say things like that are people who aren't reading. You know, like it's like, oh, yeah. Nobody reads.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, how could you be reading?
Yeah, just like, because you and your six friends don't read doesn't mean that the rest of us aren't reading. But I had that thinking when I first moved to LA like 8 years ago. Nobody reads here. And then I realized that a lot of the reading that's done in LA is around scripts and people are actually reading a ton because everyone wants to option the next thing.
Yeah.
So people do read so much, but LA is too cool for reading. You know, like LA wants to be Hollywood and I don't read. I'm dumb. Like LA like wants to be dumb. You know, it's the weirdest thing. But LA's like that girl that's like, I'm too stupid to read.
Yeah. No, like, I know exactly what you mean. You're like above reading.
Right.
And it's like, what?
Like, no. Anyways.
Yeah.
So mostly you're reading Black women stories.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is like literally like running the free Black women's library. Like I'm surrounded by the books. So why would I not?
Why would I not?
And it's always just been something I'm really interested in. And it's not to say that I'm like anti books by other people, but like, it's just, I think what's really awesome is that I have so much of what I already need. And like, there's so many things to discover that I'm like, my reading appetite is actually just satisfied. So I don't even have to seek anything else. And yeah, like some of the books that you mentioned, I'm like, oh, I want to read those books. And like I read like The Water Dancer.
Okay.
You know, like I'm reading other things, but primarily it's just Black women writers. And I'm like constantly blown away and learning still. So
if I could just suggest one book not by a Black woman for you that I think is just so good and I've been pushing it like crazy ever since I read it.
Yes.
It's The Nickel Boys by Colston Whitehead. It's his new book. It's 212 pages, so it's a snack and it is delish. Yes. So if you're thinking I might branch out and like try someone who identifies as male.
Yeah. I'm open. I am open and I've heard amazing things about Colston.
That book is, it's like a perfect book.
Oh my God.
He's like a perfect writer. Anyways, okay. How do you pick your next book? You're surrounded by all these books. How do you decide which one you're going to grab?
Yeah. So again, in classic millennial fashion, Instagram is like a huge part of my life. So I follow a lot of like book accounts. Okay. And so I usually like will find books online, or I have a lot of friends that read and recommend things. So rarely do I like actually go into a bookstore and I'm like, I'm usually like going to go buy something specifically that I already thought about. But
are there any book accounts on Instagram that you particularly love?
Yeah. I mean, Well Read Black Girl, of course.
That's nice. You don't have to say that.
And I also follow a lot of book hashtags.
Okay.
So like that helps too. Also, Black Bookstagram hashtag. There's another one that's like decolonizing books and
Decolonize your bookshelf or something.
Library of Instagram, stuff like that.
What's the last really good book someone recommended to you?
Such a Fun Age.
Oh yeah,
by
Kylie Reed.
Yeah, I'm like just finishing it, and it's so good.
It's a good read.
It's really good, and I like it because it's not super heavy.
Yeah.
But it's still dealing with a lot of like real life shit.
Can I curse on? You can. I do.
Okay.
You don't have to, but you can.
Okay. I didn't think about it until then. Yeah. And someone recommended it to me and texted me and was like, have you read this book? And it's crazy because she actually sent an advanced copy.
Oh, she did.
That I had like just tossed to the side with the rest of the books. And I was like digging through all the books. Like, where is that blue gorgeous cover?
Oh my God. So gorgeous. So that book is beautiful. So gorgeous.
That pink lettering. Mm-hmm.
And it serves a purpose. Like the pink is the perfect right color. It's just so perfect.
It's right.
Are there things that you wish were different about your reading life?
Yes. I wish that I wrote more while I read.
Interesting. What do you write while you read? What would you write?
Just like taking notes on like ideas that I have or like thoughts and things like that. Because I feel like I'll read a really good book and be really immersed in it. And then afterwards, if I talk with someone about the book, I can't remember like some of the really, like I'll remember some things that I wanted to like talk to someone about, but I really wish that I like annotated my books more and that I like kept like a book diary or something where I was like,
do you write in your books?
I do.
Your team mess up your books.
I'm team mess up your books. But I do it less now.
You do.
And I wish that I did it more, because even like with my like Audre Lorde books, there's like so much highlighting and all of my notes. And it's really fun to like go back and see what I was thinking then.
Yeah.
I wish that I actually, and even if like for some books like hardcovers, I'm not going to write in them. I just can't. If it's like a soft cover, I'm like, fine.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I guess I take care of my hardcovers more because they're hardcovers.
Interesting.
I don't know.
But I never mess up my books, but I'm starting to think about it.
Mm.
I kind of like, because what I'll do is I'll read a book and I'll take notes on the book in my phone.
Oh.
Like I'll have a notes app. Okay. So like if we're doing a book on the show, I'll take notes and I'll put the page number and I'll like I have a whole thing. But then I started thinking like, why does it matter if it's my book?
Yeah.
If it's clean or not.
Yeah. And you can always buy another one.
Yeah. That's also true.
I never think about that.
Yeah.
Buying another one. But it reminds me of when I was growing up and I used to get those like collectible Barbies for Christmas. Like they came in that big ass box.
And like you could never take them out of the box.
Yeah. And then like one day my mom was like, just open up the box. And I was like, what? And she was like, they're actual dolls. Like, I don't care anymore. And I just was stunned.
Yeah.
So maybe you should just
I had a black Cinderella.
Oh, see.
And I don't think I ever opened it. And then I also, my aunt got me a Democratic Convention Barbie in 2004 or 2008. I was like older, but she's still in the box also. Black. Honestly, she was a black delegate. My gosh, I loved her.
You could. I'm so glad that you actually didn't play with those. No. And I actually regret opening the box because now I'm like, I mean, they look awful. Their hair is cut. Like, it's a whole thing. They're like totally, like all of the value is gone, whatever value that was. I had this like black Millennium Barbie when it was like 2000.
Yeah.
This like anniversary Barbie. I had all of them.
Well, now you're making me think I shouldn't mess up my books. You're talking me out of it.
Okay, no. No. That's not my goal. I mean, you can buy another one. Those ones you can't buy again.
That's true. I don't know. Yeah. Do you dog ear your pages?
Yes.
Okay. I do not do that.
I do, but it's a very tiny dog ear. And I don't like to do it often.
I don't like to do that. And I also, my big book pet peeve is when people use the jacket as a bookmark, because then it like stretches out the jacket.
Oh my God. That is me.
You do that?
I really felt like they did that for people like me.
Oh my God.
Like don't have bookmarks.
I yell at my husband all the time. I'm like, is that my book that you're doing that with? Well, it's interesting because that looks like it's one of my books.
I know.
So why are you doing that to my book?
I love it. I just think it's so sweet. It's like an extra like, don't have a bookmark and don't want a dog ear, just use this extra flap.
No, I'll use basically anything else as a bookmark. Like a ticket napkin. Stub, I'll rip off a piece of paper, and a napkin, whatever, a paper clip. But I will not use the jacket.
Mm.
And I don't like to dog ear. I'll also just remember what page I'm on, or I'll take a note and say this page. But I do not like those two things. I just... because then the jacket doesn't fit right. Then it's always falling off when you're trying to use it.
It's never the same again.
Go back to the ribbon in the book.
Yes.
Like old school. Can I get a ribbon? I'm paying $30 for a book. Can I have a ribbon, please?
Please. Yeah, that was actually a great idea.
Yeah, pass the ribbon. Okay, what genres of book do you love? And are there any that you're just not into or that you avoid?
I wrote down historical fiction, but like as I was answering that question, maybe I don't really like.
You just really liked.
I just really liked Homegoing. Okay. That was it. I like fiction a lot. I really like romance novels too. I really like YA a lot. I love poetry.
Oh, you do?
Books. Yeah. Okay. But also like. I am not into what I call like Instagram poetry.
Okay.
Which is just like really minimal, like two lines where it's just like, love is life.
You mean like people whose posts are like three lines?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they have like books like that now.
Yeah.
It's like just a collection of like blank pages with like five words on them.
Okay. You want to like dig in.
Yeah.
You need like, a little meteor poem.
Just a little meteor for a book. Of poetry.
Right.
I think it's cute for like reposting, but I'm not paying for that.
Right.
Yeah.
What is your ideal reading setup? How do you like to read? Where do you like to be? What's your vibe?
Oh my God, that's such a great question. So I have a very like, this is my like literal childhood reading setup life goal that has not been reached.
Okay.
And so, yeah. So I have a, like, realistic one and I have, like, an idealistic one. Idealistically, I want to be that girl in the window of a home. And one of those windows that's, like,
the bay window.
Yes,
yeah, that's also my dream.
It's just, like, every reader, I think, wants to, like, sit in a window and read a book. And I want to read that book not quite at, like, golden hour, but, like, right before golden hour. Mm-hmm, so that as I'm reading, it turns into golden hour and not nighttime.
Okay.
Where I have to, like, get out the window.
Got it.
So,
it's like, you need time to read.
Right. Because I'm, like, reading by daylight. And, like, yeah. So, and preferably with, like, iced tea that, like, my grandmother made me or something. Just, like, sitting there, like, a bowl of lemons next to it.
Sure. and there's, like, bookshelves on either side of the window.
Yes, of course. Right. Definitely bookshelves on either side and, like, a cascading, like, drape somewhere. So, my, like, idealistic, like, reading setup. My actual real life is me reading in the bed with, like, crumbs. And, yeah.
With crumbs.
So,
really setting the mood.
Right.
Okay, this is our rapid fire section. What's the last book that made you cry?
Heads of the Colored People by
Nafisa Thompson Spires. Yeah. That book is dope.
That book is, again, it's one of those books where I'm like, didn't think I was going to have a new top five. That one's like top five. Like the first story.
Yeah.
By the end of it, it was a wrap for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know if I could finish the rest of the book. I was like, oh, if they're all like this, I'm done.
Yeah.
And the conversations I had about that, I made my boyfriend at the time, I read it to him out loud. Because I was like, I don't know if you're actually going to read this. And I need you to read this. So we're just going to have story time right now. He was like, okay.
I love that.
And the conversations that we had afterwards, I was just like weeping.
Really?
Like, it was just, anyway, that book is really, I'm still processing.
Yeah. She's dope. What's the last book that made you angry?
An American Marriage by Tyree Jones.
Yeah.
Many times I had to put that book down and like take a lap.
Okay.
The drama. Did you read it?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Yes. I think at the time it was just like hitting too close to home.
Okay.
Like I was going through a lot of relationship stuff.
I see.
And so it was like extremely triggering. So I was like upset as I was reading it. And I was like, why am I reading this book that is, and I don't want, I don't want anyone listening to think that my life was anywhere near like someone.
I was going to say, I was like, how exactly close to your life?
Right. It wasn't like super close. Like nobody went to jail. Like,
right.
It wasn't like that. But just close in that, like, I don't even want to share.
It was close.
It was close enough, and it just pissed me off because some of the things that happened in the book, I was just like stressed out.
Got it.
But it was so good.
It was so good.
I kept going.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Totally. What's a book that you feel proud to have read?
All of the Harry Potter series books.
Oh, not Black Woman.
I know. And I just added that in there as like a fun thing to show that I'm like a dynamic Black woman. But yeah, I just like, I didn't realize how many people actually didn't read all the books.
I've never read a single sentence of a single one.
See, this is why I'm proud
to have read.
Yeah. People are watching the movies and not reading all the books. And
I've not seen a movie either. I've not dabbled into any Harry Potter thing. I don't know what a...
Is there something behind this?
Like Dumbledore is. I don't know the whole thing. I just know that he wears glasses and has a scarf.
Are you like actively avoiding Harry Potter?
I just wasn't into it. And then my god sister, I have a goddaughter who's now, she'll be 9 next or this month. Mm. And I was like, oh, I'll read it when Charlie's like old enough, we'll read it together. Mm. But now I just had these kids. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, should I wait and read it with them? Or maybe I'll read it with Charlie and then read it with them. But I just wasn't that into it. And I am curious, but.
Wow.
So yeah.
You've really avoided Harry Potter. Like
it's not even an avoid. It's just like not in something that I'm interested in.
I got you.
Like, I don't know. I'm sure once I read it, I'll be like, oh my God, it was amazing. I can't believe I waited this long. But right now I'm just like, it doesn't excite me. Like I'm not like, oh, I have to read Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, maybe Charlie and I can read it together. That would be fun.
Yeah. I feel like that about Star Wars.
Oh, I've never seen a Star Wars.
Yeah. I've never engaged in any Star Wars activity.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It just hasn't happened. And it's not like I have anything against it. It's
just not like, interested. That's totally me. Me and basically everything. Okay. I feel like that about like every big cultural thing except for Cheer. Have you watched Cheer on Netflix yet?
No.
It's a cheerleading documentary show. It's 6 episodes and it is amazing.
Okay.
So I'm just telling you, it's Cheer? The most compelling television ever made.
Okay.
It's noted. The only cultural thing that I'm into. What book is your problematic fave?
It's weird. I guess I would say, I kind of want to say Americana.
Okay.
But it's not, I think it's more of a fave than it is
problematic.
Yeah. Like the problematic parts aren't over. It's not like I'm like boycotting.
Right.
Like Americana.
Right.
But like I have been in spaces where I've like really rah-rahed for Americana and people have been like,
Interesting. I don't even know what the issues are.
From what I've heard, so part of it I think comes from like Chimamanda's more recent like comments around like that have been a little transphobic and like stuff like that. So some of it I think comes from just like her as a person.
Okay.
And then I think some other people just didn't really like the ways that she like talked about the experience of like a Nigerian person living in America. Like they just were like, this doesn't feel accurate or like the dynamics between her and that the character who was like, I think it was like some white guy who was her boyfriend.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. And they just were like, that was really not handled right.
Okay.
So I can see, I kind of want to read it again now, mm-hmm. now I've had some time to see like, okay, is this like a true problematic fave? Or
Right.
Like how much, because every, yeah.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's like more subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't think of another one.
That's fine. Oh, are there any books that you feel embarrassed about that you've not read or you haven't gotten to yet?
Yeah. I feel really embarrassed that I've only read one Octavia Butler book.
Which one?
Which is Kindred.
Okay, me too. I've only read one.
Yeah, and it's really not cool when you say you run the Free Black Women's Library to like not have read Parable of the Sower.
Yeah.
Or, like any of those books. Like it's just like I feel so basic for just being on a Kindred level. So I'm really embarrassed about that.
It's like you need that on a shirt. I'm basic on a Kindred level.
Yeah, like I really should have more Octavia under my belt. So I'm really like embarrassed when I go to spaces and they're like, oh my God, like Octavia Butler, right? And I'm like, right. But I also feel like I'm secretly like
A
poser.
Yeah.
But I really do stand for her. But yeah, I need to read more.
Okay. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
What's a book you would assign to high school students?
I put The House on Mango Street.
Okay.
By Sandra Cisneros, which is like already kind of assigned to high school students.
It was not assigned to me.
No?
No. I've never read it. I've heard it's amazing, but I've never read it.
Oh my God. It's another one of those books that changed my life. Sandra Cisneros is like one of the first writers that I read wrote in a way that really combined like poetry and her like narrative, like writing and stuff. And she wrote, it was a book of vignettes, which as a high school student, I didn't know what the fuck that meant.
Right.
And then reading this, I was like, I didn't know that you could like write like this and actually have people respect you.
Right.
Like, I was like, this is a published book. Like, you can do this. Like, I was just shocked.
What's a book that you feel like should be turned into a movie or TV show?
I really think that Queenie by Candace Cardi Williams.
Yeah, I think that's coming.
Is it?
I literally could have just made that up, so nobody quote me. But I feel like I saw that.
I think
maybe not.
Yeah, I think as I was reading it, I personally think it would be a better movie or a better show than it was a book.
Interesting.
Like I was kind of annoyed by her character a little bit, and I just was like, pull it together. I mean, it's a great book. You read the book?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a great book. It's like about this girl who's she like lives in London. She's Black. She's a millennial. She's like dealing with relationship issues and stuff with her friends and her job and like navigating life and mental health issues and like all these different things in family. And so I'm just like, this is a great show. Like the actual book, it was nice reading it, but there were so many parts in it where like they had excerpts of like her text messages. And they kind of tried to make it like almost like really multimedia-ish. But okay. I was just like, just go full multimedia and like right. make it a thing.
I see.
Yeah. I think it would fit in really nicely with today's like shows like Grown-ish and yeah. stuff like that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. This is the last question. We always do this one. What is one book if you could require the courage? Let me try that again. Okay. Last one. We always do this. What is the one book you would require the current president of the United States to read?
Okay. This is like the hardest question I've ever been asked in my life.
Okay.
Outside of just books, just okay. like life.
Okay. Yes, I did it. Asking the tough questions in your face, Barbara Walters.
For real. Like, you need like an award for your podcast now for this question.
Thank you.
I feel like Assad Shakur's autobiography. Mm. And it's just because I want him, who shall not be named, mm-hmm. to just like have a moment with some really badass black woman shit. Mm. And someone who's so like apologetic and eloquent and poetic about her shit. Mm. And I just like from the first chapter of that book, she really pulls you in to like, I mean, it reads like it's a movie.
It's so good.
But it's like not a movie. So yeah, I would love for him to be forced to reckon with like Asada and her story.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. That's such a good answer. Yeah. Okay. We're going to wrap up. Next week, Asha's back. We're talking about Audre Lorde's Sister Outsider. It's a collection of essays and speeches. There won't really be spoilers, so if you haven't read it yet, that's okay, but you should read it. If you haven't read it yet, now's the time. This is the book that everyone's like, oh, I should read this. Now is your time. We've created space for you to take in this text. Asha, is there anything else you want to say?
Just thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, this was so fun.
Yay. All right, you guys, and we will see you in the stacks. That does it for us today here on The Stacks. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you to Asha Grant for being our guest. Asha is back next week to discuss Sister Outsider by Audre Lorde. Find everything we discussed today in the link in our show notes. You can also find links to our social media accounts and the social media accounts of our guest. Thank you to our sponsor, Book of the Month. Make sure to get your first month of Book of the Month for $9.99 by visiting bookofthemonth.com and using the code THESTACKS. Get your first month with Audible for free and a free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/thestacks. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening through Apple Podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review the show. Our graphic designer is Robin McCrite, and our theme music is from Tegirajis. This show was created and produced by me, Tracy Thomas.